He's the organisation here in Long Island City, and we have many programs, but tonight we're here to celebrate something very special. Mayo Day 2023, it's an honour to be working in association with the Mayo Foundation and Mayo County Council, and I'd also like to say that we operate this building with a valuable part, an invaluable partnership with the Irish government, and here to represent the Irish government this evening to speak, as we also welcome our honoree this evening, Mr. Adrian Flannelly. Please give him a big warm welcome. Please welcome to the stage Vice Consul General from the Irish Government, Mr. Kermit.
I'm really delighted to be here tonight, and I timed it. It really is 7 minutes on the 7th from Grand Central, and that includes walking the wrong way for half a block. So, thanks very much to George and the whole team at the New York Irish Centre for making this such a vibrant part of the community, building on the work of Paul Finnegan. So, thank you so much for providing this space. I'd also like to thank Karina Galvin and Geraldine Sweeney, both the Proud Mayo Women. But I'm here tonight to add the congratulations and the best wishes of everyone at the consulate to a man who's been a pillar of the Irish community in New York for more than 5 decades, Adrian Flannelly. While I am regrettably a dub, married a Mayo man, and I spent every summer of my youth in Bohola, so Mayo holds a special place in my heart, and the spirit of Mayo is something tangible to me. And it's welcoming, it's kind, it's funny, but it's also about perseverance and an unshakable belief in doing the right thing. So you've chosen no more worthy recipient than Adrian. He stands alone in his tireless work, spanning a myriad of causes, from immigration reform, social justice, to peace in Northern Ireland. He's been a beacon and a voice for the Irish in New York for half a century. You've been recognised with too many honours to list here. You're quite literally in the Irish American Hall of Fame. But I wanted to discuss one in particular. I was very proud to be involved in the process that saw Adrian recognised in 2021 for his work with the Presidential Distinguished Service Award. And my involvement in this involved receiving letters of support. The volume of support for that nomination really spoke to the regard in which you're held by the entire community. I received letters from leaders in politics, journalism, academia, business, and the arts, who all stepped up to add their voices to the throng calling for you to be honoured, and many saying it was long past time. So I looked over the letters again today before coming here. They spoke of the extraordinary role you played in achieving the Morrison and Donnelly visas. Including organising a convoy to deliver applications to DC. Your advocacy in promoting and delivering the Hunger Memorial in Battery Park City. And the IMF development curriculum for New York schools to teach about the famine. The letters emphasized how he's always on the right side of history, using your platform as a conduit for change for the better. But these letters also made clear the genuine warmth and depth of feeling across the Irish community for Adrian, praising his unselfishness, his promotion of Irish arts and culture, and one letter from former Congressman Joe Crowley spoke of Adrian giving him a start as a struggling musician at a gig in Queens. The musical career didn't work out, but a lifelong friendship was born, and I think it worked out okay for him. I also learned that St. Patrick's Day has been officially declared Adrian Flannelly Day 3 separate times in the United States by Mayors Koch and Giuliani and Governor Pataki, which I think speaks to your bipartisan appeal. So I also walked around the consulate today, and the staff wanted to add their thanks for your years of friendship. And another Mayo woman, Claire Canan, specifically wanted me to let you know that she's having smoked salmon in tribute to you tonight. She said you'd get the joke. So congratulations on another well-deserved honour, Adrian. Gorgeous.
Thank you, Dermot Fitzpatrick, representing the Irish government. I'd now like to welcome to the stage board member from New York Irish Centre, but tonight the proudest Irish woman on my journey, Sweeney from Mayo, one of our organisers tonight, Karina Galvin.
Karina Galvin, George, I'm sure as a Limerick man, you did not like coming in here seeing all the red and green all over the place. But again, first of all, I'd start off by thanking you so much for helping out. I know you've a lot going on, and to help out Mayo girl or girls on this great event. Thank you. I know I'm a little bit biased with this fantastic centre, and you got a screenshot into it on the video, but thanks again, George, and all the staff, volunteers, Connor, Hannah, Fiona, and Stephen and Ryan, who were helping out all day today, putting up bunting. So on behalf of the County Mayo Foundation, I want to take a minute or two and just talk about the foundation for anyone that doesn't know what it is. It was established a few years ago to connect the Mayo diaspora here in New York and in the US with charitable organizations at home. As a 501c3 organization, the County Mayo Foundation has created an online platform for us to provide support to projects and initiatives within charities back home. So basically, it's a way for us to support Mayo-based charities tax-free for us. It's headed up here by current President John Roach, who sends his regrets. He was unable to make it tonight. But it is good to see some other past board and committee members, including Geraldine and John Kearns, who's here somewhere. So, some of the current projects that they're working on and supporting include the Colm Harkin Memorial Pitch, the Old Irish Ghost Society, St. Murdoch's Restoration, St. Murdoch's Cathedral, which you all know, if you didn't know about it, you do now, after last week with President Biden. Previous projects included the Catamount GAA, Western Care Association, Safe Home Ireland, and lots of others. So I won't go on to too many other details about it. If you want more details, just go to the website. There's a QR code on the sign over there. And if you want to get involved, either here or one of your preferred charities at home, just let Geraldine or I know. So now I'll turn it over to Geraldine to talk a little bit about Mayo Day.
So thank you, Karina, and I'd also like to give a huge thanks to George and Karina and all the team here at New York Irish Centre. Without you, we wouldn't be here tonight, so I just want to give a round of applause. And I'd also like to take a moment to recognise our Mayo Day ambassadors. Adrian, of course, being our founding member over here and our Spirit of Mayo honoree tonight, thank you for all of your work. We've also got Karina and John Kearns over there, Tom Lynch, Siobhan Carney, who couldn't be here tonight, and Tim Ruddy and Aideen Kane and Maria Deasy, who's actually in Mayo. So a welcome again to Mayo Day 2023. We're now in our ninth year, and it's held every year, generally over the Mayo Bank Holiday at home, and they call it Mayo Bank Holiday now. It was created really to raise the profile of the county, and it's now an annual global celebration of all things green and red. And while there are many events happening around the globe, this weekend the flagship event will take place on Saturday in Ballina, County Mayo, with a family fun day for all to attend. The very best of Mayo will come together tomorrow to put on a spectacular show of music, song, dance, sports, culture, and storytelling. And as we've seen with the recent visit of President Biden, we know that Ballina certainly knows how to throw a good party. So please do follow mayo.ie on Facebook and Instagram for all things Mayo Day related. Next year will mark the 10th anniversary celebration of Mayo Day, so please stay tuned for all the celebrations that will be happening. Again, follow on mayo.ie. So what I'd love to do now is introduce this short Mayo Day film. It's called Our Day, and it was commissioned by Mayo County Council for this event, Mayo Day, and it was written and directed by award-winning Mayo director Lorcan Hines. So Our Day encompasses many themes, including immigration, rural identity, and it features Mayo people from all walks of life, from firemen to GAA stars, factory workers, choirs, and surfers. So with that, I'd like to turn the attention over to the film.
Good people of Mayo, I am quite honoured to be the one to say a few words about Adrian Flannelly, especially that I'm a Galwegian. I have of course been always made to be felt very welcome among the people of Mayo since I arrived in this great town quite a number of years ago. So it's difficult to talk about Adrian in a few moments, you know, and I wrote down some words that would describe him. So the first, and my preferred style of making little speeches is to write things out on index cards. So the first word I came, the first description I came up was gift of the gab. So, I mean, I'm also known for my own gift of the gabbedness. I will go off on a tangent if you let me. So I'm going to keep myself on a tight leash today. Here's a word that describes Adrian, pioneer. I'm not talking about the kind of pioneer that doesn't take a drink. I'm talking about the iconoclastic type that breaks new ground and does new things. And one of the great things Adrian did was he became the first Irish talk radio guy. The real Irish radio talk guy. Lots of radio guys doing music and stuff, but Adrian brought in news and he brought in interviews and he brought in community into his radio shows. And it basically turned him into a huge figure in our community. And this is actually before I even landed in these shores. But by the time I got here, he definitely was the man when it came to radio. He built on that over the years so that he has many, many great accomplishments, and I'm just going to pick out a few. So the next one I pick out is the word to describe him is the word trust. You know that these days we don't trust what we hear when it comes to news? Well, back in those days, you picked out people and you trusted them, but those people didn't get there by chance. They built up a credibility and a confidence in what they had to say. And Adrian gained the trust of the community. So much so that when the Morrison visas came, and beyond the scope of my time here to talk about what the Morrison visas were, but there was an opportunity for a lot of Irish people to move from undocumented to documented through a thing called the Morrison visas. But there was distrust among the undocumented at that time. They didn't know if they should apply. Was it all a ploy to out them, that they would be discovered as undocumented? But Adrian went on the air and kept saying, it's okay, this is a program that will get you legal here in the United States. This is in the early 90s. And he even said, look, give me your applications. I'll go down to Virginia the night of the deadline, and I will throw your applications into the big stack they have down there. And he took thousands of Morrison visa applications down to Virginia that day. And because through his work, he was a trusted member of our community. Another word that describes him is the word influencer. We didn't really use that word back in the day, but Adrian is, and certainly in certain times, was a huge influencer in our community. We can't even imagine how influential he was. He had a radio show, Mr. St. Patrick's, Mr. Adrian Flannelly Day, St. Patrick's Day. He had the radio show one block off the parade route, and princes and governors and all kinds of powerful people had to stop into Adrian's radio studio that day. Some of them had to wait 2 or 3 hours to get an audience with Adrian at the microphone. I had the great pleasure one day of sitting there for quite a long time. I don't think I even got on the air that day. I was definitely down the list, but of pecking orders. But, you know, one moment anyway, well, there was beyond the governors and all the New York people and the Irish officials and TDs and Cornishes and T-shirts from Dublin, David Trimble walked in and walked right up to me and shook my hand. And those of you who don't know who David Trimble was, he was from the other side of the divide during the great negotiations for the Good Friday Agreement. So that was the level of influence that Adrian had during that time, which it's a piece that lasts until today. So you can certainly give a round of applause for that. I've come to my last index card, and I think I'm coming in under the wire here time-wise, and my tight leash is doing all right. I put the word borrow down on a card because Adrian never borrowed any money from me. But what I'm trying to say is Adrian's pedigree is quite phenomenal, actually. An uncle that was a former mayor of the city, an uncle that was a former city council leader, head of the city council in New York, the speaker's role. Huge, a huge deal. And, of course, a first cousin by the name of Brian Aguirre, who's huge influence on so many organizations in this town and on civil rights in general, following in the footsteps of his own father, Brian. But Adrian didn't come into town. And by the way, Adrian's like the black sheep of the family, by the way. But Adrian didn't come into town like, I'm special. He came in with the same inclination that so many Irish people who come here come with. And I paraphrase what the Native Americans used to say. I won't tell you what they used to say, but what I paraphrase is, we haven't inherited our heritage from our ancestors, we've borrowed it from our children. And I think that Adrian has lived that ever since. So definitely, I'm very honored to have the opportunity to say a few words about Adrian tonight, because he's been a very dear friend to me over a long period of time. And he should be honored because my wife showed up tonight and she never comes out with me to Irish things anymore. And we're wearing matching outfits. That's Lori Stan, my long-suffering wife, and she said, oh, Adrian, I will come out to that. So that is definitely stands to you. So we have a little surprise here. I think at this point we have a little video from the mayor of the County Mayo.
As the Mayor of Norfolk Council, I'd like to take this opportunity to send a special message of congratulations to Adrian's family on the special award tonight.
Oh, wow.
Adrian, on behalf of the people of the county, can I say we are so proud and thankful of the work you do to highlight our county and diaspora. I can't think of a more deserving person to receive the start of Mayor Award 2023. I look forward to welcoming you to Mayo again in the near future. You are always welcome. Congratulations to County Mayo Foundation and friends for creating this special evening of celebration. I wish you all a wonderful Mayo day. Mayo Abu.
So, Adrian, I'm very proud to present to you the 2023 Spirit of Mayo Award.
Paul said you want to say a few words. I've never said a few words in my life. Okay. Anybody who wants to catch the 11 o'clock news could leave now. I was much more humble when I came through the door here. If I'm half as good, you know, as I was introduced, not even half, then I'm ahead. Thank you. I love it. I love Mayo. But I just want to talk to you for a minute about coming to New York. It was 1959, I was all of 17, and coming to New York, the welcome, the warmth that I felt, incredible. Sometimes we forget to give credit, you know, to those who welcomed relatives and the neighbor's child from Ireland without ever having met them. But they, in addition to giving them, you know, room and board, there was hardly an Irish person here, and many Irish Americans, whose first job was to find a job for the immigrant. No place or no county, because I am from Mayo, I know that the warmth of the Mayo Association and the tremendous interest that you know, they had in helping out. You came to New York, you moved with your relative or and within the first week, you were pretty much guaranteed that you were going to have a job. And the reason that most people were, you know, trusting of the employee who came here, bear in mind that you just didn't decide to come to America. You had to have a sponsor. You had to have somebody who was actually going to guarantee that you, as an immigrant, that you would not be a ward of the state, that you wouldn't cost America a penny. Imagine the people who, you know, again, are taking relatives from Ireland, taking friends from Ireland, and not making any big deal about putting up the money, placing their reputation on those who come in. It was absolutely amazing, and I say no place that I knew of in the circle I was in, no place and no people were more accommodating and helpful than the people from my own home county. It was a marvelous, marvelous thing, and I see Betty McLaughlin here. Betty and so many of the others, some of them no longer with us, and that type of organization was incredible. Now, what there are those who say, if you want to start a Mayo organization, you get three male people in the room. One of them goes to the bathroom, and they have been ousted by the time they come back. Well, whoever came up with that one, you know, the people, again, the people who in the organizations at every age group, this is before text and email, whatever, letters were written, handwritten, and then those would be mailed out to organizations, to friends of the organization. There was one thing that still holds true, though, that comes to mind right through today. When somebody was in trouble, or is in trouble, you don't have to look very far. You're going to get a tremendous amount of help, whether that's financial, emotional, you're going to get that from people who are not going to ever divulge the depth of their commitment to you, your problems. We see so much of it that has carried through again today. Somebody falls off a building, or sometimes becomes paralyzed, or an illness. Look at the Irish community, and that's where you more than likely will find all the help that is required. And nobody, but nobody, is expected to say thank you. I want to say thank you. I appreciate the honor very much. And to George, okay, for the use of the hall. And of course, Paul Finnegan, thank you. And Karina, of course, you know. And nice to get greetings from Dermot Fitzpatrick, who only divulged this very evening that actually he, in addition to being a dub, and God knows he's got... God knows that's a stigma in the first place. we can't say that much about it because in my day, coming to America and emigrating from Ireland, there were two options. One was, at least for Mayo people anyway, and us in the West, you could immigrate to New York, America. You could go to Australia and never be heard of again. Or you could go to Dublin and pick your roots, dig your heels in. And but I want to, in particular, acknowledge Dermot, because he only told us this evening that he would spend his summers and his holidays down in Bohola in County Mayo. Thank you again to each and every one. And yes, let me see, who could I quote now? Who's that fellow who went to Ballina and ended his words with Mayo for Sam?